Hi, this is Christina Black with Enchanted Rose Photography. If you're like me, you're usually behind the camera instead of in front of it. This vacation, let me help you capture your memories. We offer different packages to fit anyone's needs. Find me at www.enchantedrosephotography.com and book your session today.
Hello, welcome to the Dub D Dub Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by our guest co-host today, Tamara Spidell. Tamara, how are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm great. How are you?
So usually I say I'm flying solo, but today it's guest co-host. I'm going to use that for now on. I don't want to say flying solo. I got a guest co-host.
Wow, I feel really important. Thank you.
Really important. That you got low standards. You need better than this, that I'm telling you. I suckered you into this. So full disclosure, if you're listening, I am sitting here in the morning before work, and I live in Central Standard Time. So it's about 7:20 in the morning. And our guest co-host today is such a sweetheart. She is, well, frankly, she lives in Mountain Time. So it is 6:20 in the morning, and she got up to record a show with me. So give me your mental state right now. Give me out of 0 to 10. What do you think?
Well, I just finished my first cup of coffee, so I'm probably at a 6. I usually wake up fairly peppy, so, you know.
So would you be a morning person or an evening person?
Oh, definitely a morning person. I usually get up at 4:30 on weekdays to work out before I go to school.
I'm the same. Based on my job, I become a morning person in my life as well, too. So when I hit the ground, it's usually the first 10 minutes are kind of foggy until I get my first or second cup of coffee, and then I'm ready to roll, you know, so I'm a morning person as well. We got a really interesting show, something we've never talked about today, but before we start, let's do a little opener. You're ready for a little bit of a question and answer session here?
Sure.
All right. I want one word, your gut instinct from you. And I'm going to mention a bunch of these attractions, which are now former Walt Disney World attractions. So let's just happen to say I said the Great Movie Ride. I want one word, the first thing you think of when I mention these attractions to you. Okay?
Okay.
This was going to be part of another show, but honestly, I never got it together. But this is going to apply for this show as well, too. And this kind of ties into our topic because in many ways, this will be a former attraction and then a current thing as well, too. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Claustrophobia.
Body Wars.
Oh. Splinter. Wow. I don't know if that's the right one. Is that the one? Like, wasn't Martin Short in it? And, like, you traveled into the... No, maybe that was Inner Space. Shoot, I don't remember.
Okay, Body Wars, it's in the, you know, the Wonders of Life Pavilion and whatnot. It looks kind of like Star Tours in many ways. So, do you remember the ride, the attraction at all?
I remember a ride. The thing that I have in my head is, like, we were traveling through a body, and, like, you were like, they got a splinter or something, and there was, like, an infection, and it talked about how the white blood cells help fight off infection or something. Is that the right one?
You know, it's been so long. Yes, you're right. Okay. And it always reminded me of Fantastic Voyage, the movie. You know, I don't know if you remember the classic sci-fi movie, Fantastic Voyage. So,
never saw it.
Really? Oh, really? It's classic. So this guy... So if I'm remembering correctly, Fantastic Voyage, the guy is... How do we get to here? How did we actually get to this spot at our Disney show? I think the guy was shot, and they take his body... And they have to go and bring it to this, like, medical science laboratory. And they take this spaceship and they miniaturize it. And it's got, like, a young Donald Pleasance and whatnot. And it might have a young Raquel Welch. And they miniaturize the submarine and they travel through the guy's body to try and repair the damage to, like okay. Yeah, it's all crazy in science. Which one? Okay. It's, yeah. Anyways, okay, fine. Very good. Splinter. Captain EO.
Oh.
If you say Hooter. If you say Hooter, I'm just ending the show right now. All right. Communicore.
Spacey.
Okay. Cranium Command. Do you remember Cranium Command?
I don't. That was, gosh, I don't know if I ever went to that or not. I'm assuming that was in Future World in Epcot.
Cranium Command was, again, in the Wonders of Life Pavilion. And that was the adventure. That, remember, he had the character Buzzy. And, like, it was seeing the world through, like, a 13-year-old boy's eyes and whatnot. Robin Williams also voiced the part of a character in that as well, too.
I don't think I ever went on that.
Okay, so Cranium Command, we're going to pass. How about Extraterrestrial Alien Encounter?
Horrifying.
Horrifying. Okay. How about we go with River Country?
Amoebas.
Amoebas. You between horrifying amoebas. Wow, a lot of fears coming up here. The Great Movie Ride.
Tarzan.
Ooh. Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Favorite.
It was a favorite of yours?
Mm-hmm.
I used to like it as well, too. So what was... So let me ask you a trivia question on my contest. It's like here's an aside from the aside. It was Dr. Wayne... What was his last name?
Oh, shoot. I don't...
I hope I remember it correctly, because if I don't, someone's going to tell me.
I don't remember.
I think it begins with a Z. Does that help you?
Nope.
Okay, I'm gonna hope that I remember this, or I'm gonna have to edit this section out. I think it was Dr. Wayne Szalinski. Is that correct? Does that ring a bell?
Sure, it sounds good to me.
Oh man, so now you've given me no confidence. I wonder if I gave you bad information. I'll have to go and research it. If it is, I'm cutting this out of the show anyways. All right. Horizons. Have you ever been on Horizons?
I don't remember. I know the music because it's on one of my Epcot playlists that I listen to, but I don't remember if I actually went on it.
Okay. I know that I've been on it, not that I remember it, but I have pictures of the attraction as a young Chris back when I was probably 10 years old. I see me around the building, so I know for a fact I've been on Horizons. I was also on the original World of Motion because as a young Chris, I'm sitting in the driver's seat of a Corvette, as they used to station them below, like all GM products were down below, though. Mm-hmm. So I know I was there, but I don't really remember the attraction myself. You know, there's a lot of love in the Disney community for that ride. I don't remember it myself, so.
I don't either.
Okay. All right. How about Maelstrom?
Trolls.
Kitchen Cabaret.
Oh, gosh. Puppets.
Puppets.
I mean, they probably weren't puppets, but...
So, in my recent recording... Okay, so it's been a couple of years, I guess, with the Resort Loop show. And here's a shout-out. So, if you've never listened to ResortLoop.com, check out that podcast. Tim and Bob have been on the air forever, and they're one of the heavy hitters in the Disney podcast community, and they're also really good guys. So, make sure you check out ResortLoop.com.
Yeah, they're awesome.
So, Bob was out, and Tim needed a guest for a show, so I joined him for a show. And based on my dietary habits, he played a segment of Veggie Veggie Fruit Fruit after the show that I didn't know
I
was coming up.
Oh
my God, it made me cry. I was laughing so hard that he played it. The Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights.
Okay, I know I'm going to get hate for saying this, but overrated.
Ooh, interesting. Why do you think so? Tell me.
I mean, I think I never did get to see it in person, so maybe that's part of the problem, but... I don't know. There was so much drama when they took it away that I think it just sort of soured me on the whole thing.
That I think that happens in the Disney community. As soon as something's there, if they removed toilets in Tomorrowland, people would say, "Love those toilets! Look at these pictures of me with the toilets." So yeah, it's kind of strange. Snow White's Adventures.
Scary.
El Rio del Tiempo.
Peaceful.
Okay, that was always... I remember that original incarnation of that ride, and I always liked it. The Studio Backlot Tour.
Campy.
Campy, that's a good one. That's a good way to describe that. Spectral Magic.
I did not see that.
Okay.
That was a parade, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
the swan boats at the Magic Kingdom, which you probably never went on, but you might be aware of.
I do remember those.
Okay.
That just made me smile. I'm happy.
Okay. So I always wondered how you could have a body of water that runs continuously through the number one tourist destination in the world. And it's a body of water. And they even had piers for a while. Now they've been removed. But how could you not have an attraction, even if it was just a relaxing sightseeing tour around that? Like the storybook canal boats at Disneyland? Mm-hmm. How could you not make that at Magic Kingdom in like the best setting in the world, looking at the most fun sights in the world, right? Like a missed opportunity. All right, two more, and then we'll get to our show. Universe of Energy. That's a Chris favorite.
Nap time,
40-something minutes long. World of Motion. The original, before Test Track came in.
Again, this is one I'm not sure. I don't know if I ever went on this.
Okay. Interesting. It was...
Jeez. How embarrassing.
No, take Spaceship Earth and reconstitute it and put it in a different building and then put it also in the building next door for Horizons. It was the same attraction, you know, the history of motion and whatnot. And yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. So
I feel like I can picture something in my memory, and I don't know if this was it. It almost looked like the same ride vehicles as Spaceship Earth. Was it? And they kind of like traveled up and you went through like the different iterations of transportation in history. Is that right?
Yes, it was similar. I think they were a little larger. They actually left as you loaded up. It actually left and went to the outside towards the queue, and then it circled around, and then it came back up around a pillar, and then it actually entered the attraction. And it looks like a giant Hostess Ding Dong. You know, the whole building does. But
I vaguely remember that. Jeez, okay. Man, I'm feeling old right now because my memory is so poor. Like, I have these little tidbits in my brain that I'm like, oh, I think I remember that, but maybe I just think I remember it.
The wonders of YouTube, you know, lets you live through it vicariously.
Very true.
There are a lot of attractions I've never been on, these old attractions, and people love them. And even when Peter and Stacy and even Laura used to talk about parades, I'm sitting here like, what? You know, I don't remember that parade. You know, to me, one parade's another parade, you know? Until I saw the one at Disneyland, which I'm going to forget the color. It might have actually been Spectromagic or the World of Color, whatever it was, or Paint the Night. It was the
Paint the Night.
Paint the Night parade was something I've never seen before. That's like when you see it the first time, you're like, holy cow. I don't know what I just saw, but that was amazing. So I really enjoyed seeing that.
I hope they bring something like that to Disney World. We need something like that.
No doubt. All right, so let's get into our show today. So here's what I would like to do, if possible. So based on your career, if you don't mind saying what your career is.
Sure, I'm an elementary school principal.
An elementary school principal. And based upon your career, last year you went down to Walt Disney World for some professional career development with like the teaching arm of Disney called the Disney Institute, correct?
That is correct. It was actually, I think it was in 2017, so it was the summer before last.
Okay, and you're going again in a little bit, correct? You have a trip coming up very shortly with this, correct?
In June, that is correct.
Okay, so at this point, you either, not you, but people who might be listening might be wondering, what is the professional teaching and career development arm of Disney? And it's called the Disney Institute. So it also has a different name. So I'll give you just a brief history, and I'm going to partially pull from Wikipedia and partially from my own knowledge here. The Disney Institute was also the name of a resort on Walt Disney World property, which you may or may not know. So through various versions of Disney Springs and Downtown Disney and the Walt Disney World Village, that whole area, they decided to build a resort there. And they actually designed them in houses. And it, for a while, I won't give you the full history, but make a long story short, it went through various incarnations of what the resort would be, and they opened up the Disney Institute as a initiative of Michael Eisner. And the idea was you were going to stay there, and you were going to be able to learn and take classes while on vacation. And we thought, great, this is going to be a great... Well, not we. I wasn't part of the process at that point. I'm going to take myself out of there. He thought it was going to be a part it was going to be a great idea to bring you on vacation and let you take culinary classes, animation classes, health classes, various things to help improve you as a person and intellectually challenge you. Sounds really good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would be all over that.
It was a failure. They would not get people to show up and stay there to take classes. They wanted to come to Walt Disney World because of the Magic Kingdom, because of Epcot, because of the studio. So this was a short-lived experiment. It was probably the course of a decade, and my dates could be wrong, and if Jim Korkus is listening, he's going to send me an email. You know, and I've got a lot of people, really good, smart Disney people in the Disney community, Tony Passero and Joseph Fikas, that will definitely correct me on this. But I know this because, frankly, I stayed there on my honeymoon. So we honeymooned at the Disney Institute. I had a friend who worked for Disney at that point. She was a longtime family friend, and she got us a really good deal on the room. We had zero interest in learning any classes. We were going down there, but we did see our very first time Gone with the Wind, and they showed Gone with the Wind at the theater down there. So that was the very first time I ever saw Gone with the Wind.
That's pretty cool.
Well, they demolished a lot of the resort, all the bungalows, all the rooms, all the villas, except for the treehouse. They kept the treehouses and did a refurbishment there. They kept the carriage house, and they largely refurbed the whole resort to make Saratoga Springs. But they kept the Disney Institute name, and it was no longer attached to a resort. And instead now, the Disney Institute stands for a different thing in terms of Disney. So, you know, I actually had to pull this right from Disney because I was afraid of getting this wrong. So Disney Institute, they have professional career development courses from the Disney Institute. It's based on the best practices of the Walt Disney World Parks and Resorts. The Disney Institute offers the courses that will help elevate your performance as an individual or organization. So obviously, this would be connected to career professionals, and I know corporations across the country, they send their staffs down there to go and learn the Disney touch. Because when you think of customer service and well-trained staff, honestly, like, Disney's got to come up number one. If it's not number one, it's number two in your mind, because like, they're the worldwide leader in that. They also have summits. So let's say they wanted to pick a topic, you could go and send your staff for this particular summit. If the summit's on widget making, you would want to send your entire team of widget makers down to Disney because they would know the best way to make widgets. They have advisory services, will guide your organization in enhancing the customer experience from discovery to adaptation to implementation and sustainment. So really, they just want to help you be a better company and help you treat your customers and your employees right. Which leads up to you. So my long-winded, I'm exhausted. Let me get a cup of coffee here. Hang on. This leads up to you. What did you do? I know nothing about this. Teach me what you learned, please.
Wow. Okay. So Disney Institute offers, kind of like you said, they have a bunch of summits. They have one coming up early June this is not the one I'm going to. But they have like a women's leadership summit. They have customer service summits. And so the set of classes that I'm going to,
which is it is widget making, correct? You are going for the widget making.
No, actually, that one was full. I couldn't make it, so I'm on the wait list for that one.
Great.
They have usually it's a multi-day kind of experience. I think it's 4 or 5 days, or you can take each of those days kind of individually, and so. Surprisingly, I'm sure you couldn't have guessed, Disney Institute courses are rather pricey. So while I would love to take the whole 5-day, you know, multi-day experience so that you've got all the courses kind of together in one week session, I've only been able to afford to do them in the little snippet. So I'm going for my second one this June. The first time I went, the focus was on leadership excellence. And it's really about kind of identifying who you are as a leader, what are your values, and then how do you kind of create a shared vision with the people that you work with or the people who work for you, and how to kind of establish those, get them aligned, and then consistently implement them moving forward.
Okay, so when we first talked about doing the show, when I was driving to work, I was wondering, okay, so I know you went for a leadership conference, and I was wondering, okay, so would this show just appeal to people that were like managers or management level? And, you know, the more I thought about it, as I'm driving by work and I'm like passing a 7-Eleven, I look at 7-Eleven and I'm driving by this place, I realized everybody's job, everybody who's listening right now has a job that deals directly with customer service. And you might not think you do, but you do. Like in your job as an administrator in your school, you think, okay, so I have to deal with issues as far as teachers, as far as unions, as far as students, parents. But really, it's a customer service job because
absolutely.
Your customers are your students, as your parents, as your teachers. Mm-hmm. If you deliver mail, okay, your customers obviously are the people who live in the houses and you're delivering mail to them. If you work alone and you stock candy bars in a store, literally your customers are obviously your customers at that store. But everything is customer service when you walk in. So there's no one person, even if you sat at home, and you literally stuffed envelopes all day long by yourself in an isolated environment, you still have a customer and you still respond to somebody. So like being a leader and leadership training, even if you're a team of one, an employee mm-hmm. of one, you still are a leader and it still is a customer service job. You may not realize it. So like this is relatable to everybody, whether or not absolutely. You are an official manager or not. This is completely relatable to everybody.
So. I think it's relatable to anyone who works with or interacts with other human beings, honestly, because it's really not just about being, in a leadership position, but it's really kind of about being a good human being a good person and how you interact with others to make that happen. And my very favorite quote, and I constantly hear it in my head over and over since I've attended this training, was that, you know, every position in the Disney company is a leadership position. And that's kind of how I think of it at, you know, in my school, you know, everybody is a leader at our school. And so, kind of taking that into just who you are as a human out in, you know, walking around in the mall or, at your grocery store. Just because you don't work at the grocery store doesn't mean that you can't be a leader for the clerk that's checking you out or the gentleman that's restocking the produce or I think anybody could benefit from the stories and the examples that they provided in this course for sure.
Yeah. And by the way, if Disney, if you're listening and you're interested in getting the team of Chris and Tamara to come down and actually lead, we're a team here, so we come together. Yes. So if you bring one, you got to bring us both. So we are available. If you're listening, we're call us, direct message us. So anyways.
We'll work for AP.
All right. So kind of take me through, like, where did you stay? Where was it at? When you said pricey too, I'd like to know, was it funded by you? Was it funded by your school? I don't necessarily need to know the price, but tell us like those details.
Sure. So I want to say that the cost of the 1 day, experience was around $1,500 just for that class. It didn't include your lodging. It didn't include airfare. And so I use some of my own professional development money through my school district and then some of my own personal money. If you attended the multi-day, I think it's closer to $4,000 or $5,000 just mm-hmm. for the courses. So the one I attended actually was at the Contemporary in their convention center. And here's the other really nice thing. If you sign up for the Disney Institute and it's being held at one of their resorts, you can get a really good price to stay at the hotel where the class is being offered. So I got to stay at the Contemporary, which I was so excited because that is a resort I've never stayed in before, nor have I since. But one of my favorites, it's classic Disney World. And so I got to stay there. And of course, the class that I went to was just 1 day, but I went with a very good friend of mine who's also an elementary school principal. And we got there a couple of days before the class and we stayed a couple of days after because, you know, after all that intense learning, you have to have some playtime too.
Of course. Do they give you a discount too on tickets? I thought I remember seeing that somewhere that there was like a ticket offer at that point.
I think that what they do is they give you, I don't remember. I think I had an annual pass at the time, so I don't remember what the park ticket was. I know they often offer a like after 4 p.m. ticket at a pretty significant discount that just gets you into the park, you know, obviously just for the evening after the course mm-hmm. is done for the day.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. So that price might sound expensive if you're listening and you're like $1,500, but let's say you were looking for a new fourth grade teacher, or I was looking for a new assistant golf professional, and I was flipping through resumes, and I mm-hmm. saw a candidate come in equally talented as the next candidate, but I see in their bullet points at the bottom, attended Disney's professional career development training. Like, in my mind's eye, I don't know about you, but I'd be like, whoa, I'd be like, I would move that person up for sure. Yeah. That you 100%. That you consider yep. taking that, investing the time in yourself and the money, like that would hold weight. So don't think of it in terms of like, that's an expensive cost. Like that's an investment like into the next job that you want or your future as well too. I would definitely consider that. That would hold heavy weight in my mind.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think for anybody listening to this podcast, anything Disney on anyone's resume is going to move them to the top of the pile. But this in particular is, you know, it is such a value added learning opportunity that for sure that would definitely impact me to move them to the let's interview this person pile.
For sure. And also for your resume, you can now put down that you were a guest co-host. On a,
oh, yes.
Right? You can put that up towards the top of yours, you know,
yes.
of a questionable podcast, you know, a very mediocre podcast. Very good. Okay. So you're at the Contemporary. And so this is being held at the Contemporary, one of the ballrooms down below, correct?
Yes.
How many people were in your session?
I think there was about no more than 25, maybe somewhere between 20 and 25 people.
Okay, Tamara, so can you describe to me like the actual day, the details of the day?
Sure. So we had breakfast provided for us when you went down to register, and I think we needed to be there around 7:30 in the morning. And they had us kind of, like you said, in a ballroom sort of situation, a small one because there were, you know, only 20, 25 people. And we had two different facilitators that kind of tag teamed during the day, and you know, there's a lot of storytelling that happened. We had a delicious lunch that was provided for us, and then one of the coolest parts I think of the Disney Institute courses is that then we got to go on a little field trip. So we loaded onto one of the like magical express type buses, and they drove us to Blizzard Beach, and so we got to go backstage and sort of watch, here's what we learned about this morning, about how, you know, what leadership excellence looks like in the Disney Corporation. Let's go actually see it in action with actual cast members. And so we got to go behind the scenes at Blizzard Beach and kind of watch one of the lead cast members there. And kind of, he talked a little bit about some of the things happening at Blizzard Beach, and then we got to see him interact with guests and with his, you know, the cast members on his team, and then we went back to the convention center again and kind of wrapped up our day, and we got these fun little, I should have worn mine today, ears with the little tassel that said you graduated from the Disney Institute, and of course they had Mickey-shaped snacks for us, Mickey bars and Rice Krispie treats, so it was definitely a full day. I think we went until about 5 o'clock at night.
Okay. What about a takeaway? Give me something that you would have remembered from the day, something concrete that they taught you or that you wanted to implement, or a couple things that like you pulled away and said, oh my gosh, I've got to do this.
Yeah. The first is kind of that quote that I already mentioned, about how all positions are leadership positions, and just to always remember that, you know, my job is to help build capacity of the other people around me to be leaders. And I think the other piece that was a really huge takeaway for me was just really understanding the intentionality that goes behind everything that happens at Disney World and in the Disney Company, and just how they had this really, you know, I think if you think of Disney World, you think of, oh, it's this really magical place and it's filled with magic. And there was a quote that they said, and I don't know if I'm going to get it right, but it was something like, you know, work is what makes it magic. Magic isn't what makes it work. And, you know, that just really spoke to kind of that intentionality of being really thoughtful and focused on what are the results we want to achieve, and how do we align our actions in order to get those results. So that's something that I try to think about a lot too in my day to day, you know, is that walking the talk, and, you know, am I being intentional? am the way is the way I'm interacting with my quote unquote customers, whether it's the short ones or the tall ones, mm-hmm. Whether my interactions with them, are they, am I intentionally aligning those with what I feel are my values as an educator and as a leader? And am I making somebody better? You know, am I helping to bring out the best in them?
So for theme park wise, like thinking of how they've designed the theme park or even the whole experience of being on vacation, like I would be led to the thought that like nothing is filler than in the park. Like you said, the intentionality, that's mm-hmm. true. From the views to the sounds to the sights to where things are positioned in the park, the Disney community can be snarky and critical of Disney, overly so many times. But like, as far as why is that bathroom station there? Well, there's a reason why that bathroom was put there. And there's a reason why you smell cinnamon buns right now. And there's a reason why you hear that sound right now. Nothing is filler. But like, what they're teaching you is to bring that into your career. If the ultimate goal is at the end of the day, have a customer walk out of your bakery and say that was the best bakery experience, how do you deliver that to them besides baked goods? Is it the sight? Is it the sound? Is it the door that opens? Is it the theming of your bakery? That's kind of what I'm taking from your comment. Agreed? Yes.
And I think, you know, going back to the very core of why Walt Disney created Disneyland and, you know, and then subsequently all the other Disney parks around the world is, you know, what if you go back to what that vision was and what he really wanted was a place where families could go together and enjoy that time together. And I think they continue to, that's sort of their anchor that they continue to go back to. And then they, it just sort of mushrooms from there and how that applies in the different aspects of the parks.
Cool. So how did you implement any one thing into your career? I mean, I guess I could say this, like, give me a brief explanation of how you've brought Disney into your workplace or how you've implemented something into your specific work environment.
So we went through actually over the course of last school year, we went through kind of a revisioning of what is our purpose? Why do we exist as, you know, why are we here? And that was, you know, I think a lot of times people think that's something that you can just, all right, we're just going to have this like 2-hour work session and we're going to bang out some really awesome, like,
buzzwords.
You know,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. And that was not what we wanted to do. And so that strong intentionality of like really investigating who we are and what we believe in as a school and as a community, and putting that into kind of a vision or a mission statement. But I think the biggest connection for, I think a lot of times organizations kind of do that with maybe a handful of people and they just sort of create whatever their mission statement is going to be. This truly was like, we got kid input, you know, we got parent input, we got staff input. And so everybody had a voice and everybody breathes life into our mission. And, you know, I think one of the other things that I kind of started to think about after going through this particular professional development was, you know, a lot of times it's the squeaky wheels that catch our ear, but there are lots of wheels that are just silently rolling along and doing what they need to do. And I think I realize it's really important for me to make sure I check in with those that are the most quiet and just to ask them what they're thinking and, you know, how they're feeling about something that we're implementing or something we're doing at school. Because just because somebody doesn't necessarily speak up doesn't mean that they don't have something valuable to add, some valuable feedback for me as, you know, a principal and how I can better support them or how we can just make our school function better just as a whole system.
I found that as my job as well, too. The quiet ones often have the best rounded opinion. The squeaky wheel only comments on things that affect him directly, but the quiet person can actually, you know, has a much more well-rounded view of like, this is why we should do that. I found that as well too.
Definitely.
Also, I like to say that your school was the very first one after the Disney Institute to issue the bioluminescent hallways because you implemented that, the bioluminescent, just like Avatar Land, right?
Yes.
And you also have smellitizers smelling through the hallways and whatnot. So that was to the extreme, but I'm going to give you credit for that.
Oh my gosh, I wish. That would be awesome.
Okay. So at the end of this, this was a one-day session, and you were there for how many? 3 days? 4 days?
Oh, I think...
How long were you kidding it up down there, right?
I know. That's going to be the embarrassing part. So I think class was on a Tuesday. We got in on a Sunday. And then I think we flew back on a Friday. Yeah, that sounds about right.
But, you know, you were allowed to see the process at work down there.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yes. So, like, the first couple of days, we just needed to experience it without the background knowledge. Then Tuesday, we get the background knowledge. And then the rest of the trip, we were like, oh, look at that. And like, I'm not kidding. We really did do that. I'm not just making that up. But it was kind of cool to be like, oh, that, you know, that's intentional what that cast member just did. Or, you know, it was really kind of cool to see that in action afterwards, too.
Even as things as small as that two-finger point that people do in Disney World. Yes. So if you're not aware, Disney cast members cannot point with one finger, because in some cultures that's considered rude to point with one finger. So they're all trained to point with two fingers. And that's a serious offense if you actually are spotted pointing with one finger. So when you go through your workday today, think about how many times you point at something with one finger, even to your kids. And think about that. You'd have to get that out of your physical lexicon, that now you've got to use two fingers and point at everything. So that's intentional. Absolutely. So let me ask you another couple questions, if you don't mind, okay?
Sure.
When you're going down there again, is this a leadership summit again, or is this something different?
So this is the second part in the 4 or 5 day series, so I'm just, you know, just spreading it out over time. But
okay.
This one is called the focus is employee engagement.
Ooh, so I was looking at that one. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about that one, because I think that's something I really try, that I know I need to work on, is, you know, making sure that I am honoring and recognizing and giving like kudos and shout outs to the people in our community, whether it's staff or student. I need to be better at that. It's easy to get sort of sucked into the day-to-day managing operations, and that's something I have to work on. So I'm excited to go do that and get better.
Cool. Would you recommend this for anybody I mean, give me like the person that they're really trying to draw in, but also, I mean, is this something that applies to everybody? I know that's a lot of meatball. I mean, $1,500 is expensive.
It is.
But like, what's their target demographic, but also could a regular person just benefit from this?
I think the target probably is, you know, someone who is either currently in a leadership role, a traditional or, you know, a leadership role, or who aspires to be in a role like that. But honestly, I really do think it can help anybody, no matter what their position is. You know, I think one of the core beliefs that I have is just being who I am as a person is, you know, I really believe in you create your own weather, sort of, so to speak. You know, I can choose my attitude, and most of the time I try really hard to make sure I'm choosing a positive and optimistic one. And I realize that if I'm in a situation and I'm feeling grumpy, because I'm sure, like, I am lucky and I love my job and I love what I do. And I know that there are people who are often, they go to work and they're not maybe really loving what they do. And I think this helps to kind of reframe your perspective on things and maybe give you a way to say, okay, well, maybe this particular situation, I'm not finding joy in this. So what can I do to create that joy for myself where I'm at? You know, I think it just sort of shifts your perspective on how what I do as an individual can obviously impact me, but then also kind of almost shift the environment around me.
I love that phrase, you kind of create your own weather. And I use something similar with my kids, and I tell my kids, are you a passenger in your own life? They've heard me say that many times.
Like that.
Where it's like, listen, you are completely in control of your destiny and your fate, and like, you are, like, things don't happen to you. You let things happen to you. So right. You got a choice of either doing it or letting it happen to you. So I use the word, but I appreciate that. In many ways, Tamara, we are very similar in many ways.
Yep.
So excellent. Now, so when you were down there, okay, and you were taking this career institute, is this something that, like, you could have your family come and join you and, like, you hit the parks afterwards, or is this better off where it's like, okay, listen, I need to focus. I need to go down here and do this. Because I'm trying to think, I can just imagine me telling my wife, I'm going to go down there for like 3 or 4 days and I'm going to go attend this really expensive training session. You all good here at the house with the dogs and the kids? Everything's good?
Yeah, that might not go over so well.
I get eye rolls for sure.
The first time that I went, I just went with my friend, and we left our families at home, and my daughter was super bitter about that, especially when she found out I was staying at the Contemporary. She's finally gotten over it. This time, my good friend, her husband and my husband are actually meeting us. They're flying in the evening of our Disney Institute day, so they're going to be there on the back half.
Cool. After everything's done. Cool. Okay.
Yes. I think if you do the one day, I mean, personally, I feel like I would be more comfortable having my family there because there's more time to spend as a family. And if you're going to spend that much money, you kind of want to experience it together. So I don't know that if I did a multi-day experience that I would bring family down. But having the one day class, I think that affords more time to, like, you've got the day. I mean, you can't help but be focused because you're immersed in this learning for a solid day. Mm-hmm. And then you've got your playtime on either end or both, depending on how you plan it around.
And it's different than any other, like, career development. If you, like, again, if you work for Widgets and they're like, yeah, come to our seminar. And it's like you go there and you're like, oh, this is going to be just awful for like 8 hours. Yeah. This is not. Like, Disney knows what they're doing. And from Absolutely. The first moment you walk in, it's, you know, I've not ever attended one. I could only imagine. But like, even from the immersion when you stay at a resort, like immediately you're drawn in and you're not going to let go for like 8 hours. And it's like your pen's going to be flying for 8 hours as you're
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Yep, absolutely. And they give you, you know, like they, it's interactive, you know, you're interacting with the facilitators. I think that's why they like to keep it, you know, kind of to a 20, 25 maximum group, because you are interacting with the other participants, you're interacting with the facilitators. They have, and they reward you. They reward you, especially in the beginning, you know, when people are sort of like, I'm just going to sit back and be quiet. You know, they'll ask questions. And if you're a risk taker and you actually try to answer a question or you ask a question, like they give you these little, I'm going to have some on my shelf behind me, but they give you these little Disney like figures, like little, you know, maybe 2-inch high little plastic figures. So then, I mean, once I saw that like we can earn swag, I was like, oh yeah, I am all in.
People would hate me. They'd be like, would you get that guy to shut his mouth back there? Just shut up back there. So, okay, cool. I had one more question. Oh yeah, here's my question. So what did you like physically take away from there? They give you, this was back a couple years ago, so was it on a hard drive? Was it on a USB key? Was it a book? What did you like be able to take back with you?
So one of the things was about 80, let's see.
Because I forget everything. I'd forget everything, Tamara.
right there with you. They give you a really nice like spiral bound booklet. And I'm assuming there's one for each of the multi-days, because the one that I have is just Disney's approach to leadership excellence. So I'm sure if you're there for the multi-day, you probably end up with, you know, 4 or 5 different spiral bound books.
Is it blank as it for you to fill out, or is like each topic covered and like space for you to put notes in?
Yes. So it has information, it has exercises and activities, you know, it's almost like a workbook. And definitely lots of places for you to take notes and you know, for you to go through some of the exercises, like, you know, they have you kind of do some reflection in there about, you know, what do you consider your strengths and your opportunities for improvement, and, you know, so that it's definitely more than just a blank book, so to speak. But then you also get, I mean, you know, highlighters that say Disney Institute. We got a water bottle. I think we got a bag. I can't remember. My favorite thing, obviously, are the Mickey ears with the tassel on the
side. Remember seeing the picture of you and your friend wearing them as if you were graduates. So
yeah.
I'm writing down the word Disney Institute Reflection Workbook, because once I'm done with this show, I'm immediately going to eBay to see if I can find myself one from somebody, because I want to see what's in that book. So, excellent. All right, so give me some words then. So, let's wrap this up. Give me some words like like, give me your overall impression and leave me some thoughts on your experience there.
So I would say it was inspirational to me. It really got me to think deeply about who I am as a leader, and you know, what is the legacy that I want to leave, as far as, you know, when people think about me, what do I want them to say? How do I want them to feel about their time and their experience with me?
Cool.
So that was really, I would say, inspirational and also really powerful. It was definitely a positive experience, and I highly recommend it, obviously, because I'm going to go back for another dose of it this summer. I think it was a good growing experience, just even if I wasn't a principal, you know, even if I was, you know, working really hard at just, you know, I don't know, a crafting business, or, you know, staying home as a mom, which I think is the hardest job ever. So kudos to all the stay-at-home moms, because I could never do that. That job would probably kill me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everyone could benefit from something like this.
Cool. And you mentioned crafting business. Is that because you have a crafting business? Of course you do.
I do.
Okay. So I guess at this point, you should probably, let's mention your crafting business, because I'm looking at you right now and I see a t-shirt in the background, which is not necessarily part of the crafting business, but it is part of like what you do. So I guess we should go and talk about that right now too. What do you do besides, you know, occasionally guest co-host and manage all these students, and you're a wife and you're a mom and you solve problems? What else do you do, may I ask?
Wow, you know, I'm realizing I'm just gonna be padding my resume with how great I am. Gosh, just kidding. So I make ears that are comfortable to wear, because I love the headbands that you could get at the Disney parks, but I always got a headache and they're always really uncomfortable, so I could wear them for like maybe 30 minutes tops before I had to take them off. And so I just decided, you know, I started making them for myself and my family, and then we got lots of compliments and comments on them. And so somebody named Chris Malik encouraged me, like, why don't you go ahead, start an Etsy shop, do it.
Oh, don't put that on me. You had that. Then you just asked me about it. And I was like, that's a good idea.
I was thinking about it. Okay. You kind of helped nudge me over.
Well, let me say that you have now a bunch of sales behind you. And you've had both positive, and you had one crazy woman give you some crazy negative feedback. And
she
wasn't
crazy. All feedback is good feedback. It makes us grow.
Okay, this crazy woman gave you feedback, and you handled it awesomely. So, you know, I give you credit for that. But in all the sales you've had, which have been a bunch, like, you have people that are wearing your ears all over the place, and I see pictures, and it's really cool. So give me like your top three designs. So like, I'm like, okay, what does an ear mean? Give me your top three designs.
My very top one is the Maleficent inspired ears. Those are like hotcakes. Those seem to be super popular. And then the Beauty and the Beast ones were pretty popular for a while. I would say though, like, my favorite thing to do, and one, so you don't necessarily get to always see the fruits of this labor, but are the custom orders that people reach out to me and say, hey, you know, my favorite character is so-and-so. Can you design some ears around that? Like, I designed a set for Christina Black. Her favorite character, hopefully she doesn't mind me sharing this, is Jiminy Cricket. And so I designed some floral ears for her that were inspired by Jiminy Cricket and the colors. And that's like one of my favorite, favorite pairs that I've created. Those are really fun when you get to just kind of like get some inspiration from the person you're designing for and run with it.
And go run with it. So you mentioned floral arrow. So that's like a metal ring for Mickey's ears. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's a flower design, but in the theming, and you might put obviously the colors, but you also put other things. Like I've got a bunch from you. And one of the ones that I have is from Ariel, and it has a dingle hopper, and it has some shells. So it's really cool. And, you know, honestly, when you go to the park, you can buy a set of ears, and no one's going to ever question you on that. If you want to buy rose gold, those are really cool. But if you wanted to buy something a little different and handmade, each one's handmade, so each one's a little different.
Yes.
Then, you know, Magical Mara Designs. Anything in the works for Marvel? Because, like, you just saw Captain Marvel. No spoilers. We've all seen Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Any Marvel ones in the works? Because, like, my daughters would like they'd almost be like, okay, pass on the princess stuff. Yep. Give me the Marvel stuff at this point.
I actually have a couple of Captain America ears that I'm in the process of designing for a customer. Her daughter is going to Disney World next month, and her favorite superhero is Captain America. So be on the lookout. I'll be sharing some pictures of those finished ears, and I'm pretty excited about them. Even my husband was like, "Those are pretty cool. I think I might wear a pair of those."
Cool. Cool. Nothing's out of bounds, too. So talking about this, I mean, we have friends that have asked for Alabama, University of Alabama ears, a Crimson Tide, Clemson Tigers. We've had people that want Star Wars inspired ears, and so like there's nothing that's really. You mentioned the word hotcakes. How about a set of ears that look like pancakes with like some like
seriously
like butter and syrup and whatnot, right? Hotcake ears.
I think like Mickey waffle ears or some of the Mickey. They have the Mickey bar ears you can get now in the parks, but they're not as comfortable as the ones that that I make. But
Rick Forbes is texting you right now as he hears this. He's like, I'm in for pancake and waffle ears. So you're going to get an order right now. All right. So let's bring this to a close. Tamara, how could people contact you? Or how could they order your ears?
So go to magicalmaradesigns.com, and that'll take you directly to my shop. You can hit me up there. I also have a Magical Mara Designs Facebook page. You can always find me at Edcot. That's my favorite place to hang out on Facebook. I think I spend way more time there than I do on my personal Facebook page. Those are a couple places you can find me.
Outstanding. And you mentioned Edcot. That's just the community of people that I hate the word listeners because it's like not listeners, just people gather because we're friends. They happen to listen to the show, but it's really just a community of people who choose to be there. And it's not like a regular Disney Facebook group. It's not news. It is news. And it's not like, it can be anything from like my daughter winning the basketball championship two nights ago to what's your favorite top five quick service places. So yeah, it's everything and anything. So
it's like a family in there. I love it.
It is. It's cool. So at this point, we'd also like to introduce the Tamara and Chris professional Disney professional career development classes that we're going to be offering. It's not at the Disney Institute. It's going to be at the Motel 6 down the road because that's all we could get to offer us an opportunity. But it's coming. It's down the pipe.
Do they have a ballroom at Motel 6?
Kinda. It's a little sketchy. Anyways, for downloading and listening for today, we'd like to thank you. We would ask one more thing before you go. If you could go to iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcast, we've had a bunch of really cool reviews recently, and our reviews keep on shooting us up. And in terms of iTunes, we come up as one of like the top like 5 or 6 Disney shows under Disneyland. We come up as like number 2 or 3 under Disneyland. DVC, we come up as like number like 5, and like I'm floored by this. Under DVC too as well, I'm gonna give a shout out to our friend Chad with My DVC Points podcast. That comes up really high. If you've not listened to Chad's podcast, do it. If you want to hear Disney Vacation Club stories, not like news and rehashing, if you want to hear like how other people have like bought in and what Disney Vacation Club means to them, Chad's got a great show. He's a good friend as well too, so check it out. Check out that show for Disney Vacation Club. But
yeah, that's a great one.
But for downloading and listening today, we'd like to thank you, and we want to wish you a great day.
Thanks, everybody. See you around.